And we'll wait for a quorum. Let the time show that it is 11:10. Today is Thursday, March 16, 2006. President or Representative Thomas and myself, Representative Newman. And again, today we are joined by some of the students from their Regional Learning Center in Galena. And I invited them to come talk to us for just a few minutes while we're waiting for a quorum as to why they wanted to go to the Regional Learning Center. Come on, speak your name and affiliation for the record.
Hello, my name is Lena Hensley, and I'm 18 years old. I'm from Cotsby, Alaska, and I'm a senior at Galena Interior Learning Academy, and this is my fourth year there. And to me, the most important thing in life is opportunity. It's the most important option to us human beings, and it is our niche to excel, grow, and survive. Stepping off that plane in Galena wasn't easy. It was my freshman year, and I mean, it was tough, and I didn't know what to expect, but considering the fact that I've been there for 4 years, I guess I found what I was looking for. And
you've been there four years.
Yep. The reason I've gone to boarding school is when I was in middle school, I've always wanted to get out and explore, you know, see different parts of Alaska, because I haven't as much as I wanted to. And just educate myself on different cultures in Alaska. And so being in Galena, I'm surrounded by students from all over the state, coming from different towns, different hometowns, towns I've never even heard of before.
So Lena, do you think, and we have been joined by Representative Lynn. Representative Lynn, these are kids from the Regional Learning Center in Galena.
Welcome.
Lena, do you plan on going to college?
Yes, I do.
So do you think by going to the Regional Learning Center and getting away from home, that's going to, and learning to live somewhat in a dormitory environment, do you think that's going to behoove you when you get to college?
Definitely. I mean, so much that it's hard to explain. I mean, my freshman year being away from home the first month, it's always rough. And I mean, you know, just like a freshman in college is always rough for them being away from their familiar surroundings. And I mean, I already got over that my freshman year of high school, so it was tough. But I mean, you just learn to be familiarized with the healthy environment that we have out there in Galena. And I mean, there's so many supportive staff, and also students, teachers, administrators that just are so supportive, and they're always there to comfort you. They're always there for your needs, and it's a really good experience. It's excellent.
So how about your compadres there? Would they like to say anything?
Hi, my name is Dorothy Walker from, can you hear me good? Okay. Well, my name is Dorothy Walker, and I'm from Holy Cross. I'm 16 years old. This is my fourth year attending Galena, the Galena Interior Learning Academy. I'm a senior.
16, and you're in your fourth year.
Yeah.
So you're a little ahead of the group.
Yeah. But
Are you a senior?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Mm-hmm. You're a hard worker.
Well, I excelled a grade. But I attended the Galena Interior Learning Academy because, my sister, she attended there before me. And, well, I saw how well she excelled there, and I wanted, you know, to learn something, so I decided to go there. At Gila, I like that the teachers and also the dorm staff are required to have intensive training, you know, to work there. And we just get this individual attention that in other schools that, you know, we don't get that very much.
We have been joined by Representative Gatto. And how about one more?
Hi, my name is Sarah Reagan. I'm from Fairbanks, and I'm 18. I'm a junior at Gila, and I chose to go there because I didn't want to homeschool, and that's what my dad decided for me. And when I homeschooled my freshman year, it set me behind a year because I only finished one semester of two classes, so I only got a credit. And I went to a job fair that Doyon was putting on, and there was the cosmetology teacher at the job fair, and she was talking about this school, Gila, you know. Well, back then they called it Prayers, and she was saying how they have all these vocational classes that you can take out there. And we thought this was a great opportunity for me to come and learn something else that I might possibly be interested in, which is cosmetology. So that's why I came to Gila, to learn how to do hair and stuff like that.
Some of the vocational programs. Do we have any questions from the committee here real quick? And then we need to move to our bill. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
I certainly enjoyed. Did you have a comment real quickly? Or?
Oh, no.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And now we do have a quorum, so we're going to move on to taking up our legislation, which is House Bill 482, an act relating to harassment, intimidation, and bullying in schools by Representative Anderson. Today we have Crystal Novotny. She's going to present the bill for Representative Anderson. We also have Sarah Vitaska from NCSL. And I'm going to, just for a time situation, because we have to be out by noon, invite Sarah to come up and join Crystal at the desk, because a lot of these questions maybe she can answer, because she's very familiar with the other states, what they're doing right now. And maybe she can advise in some of this. So go ahead, Crystal, please state your name and affiliation.
My name's Crystal Novotny. I'm a legislative aide in Representative Tom Anderson's office. And I'm here to present House Bill 482, which is an act relating to harassment, intimidation, and bullying in schools. With House Bill 482, it encourages school districts, city and borough offices of education, law enforcement agencies, and youth serving agencies to develop and implement interagency strategies. Some of the possible programs may include in-service training programs and other activities to improve school attendance and reduce school crimes and violence. House Bill 482 will reduce vandalism, drug and alcohol abuse, gang membership, gang violence, hate crimes, bullying, teen relationship violence and discrimination, and all harassment, including sexual harassment, in grades K through 12. Recent research studies suggest that bullying has a negative effect on the social environment of schools. Bullying not only creates a climate of fear among students, but inhibits their ability to learn and leads to other antisocial behaviors. Currently, there are 21 states that have anti-bullying laws, and Sarah will go into more detail about those laws. And I believe it's a very good thing for our students and our children to learn in a very safe educational environment.
Thank you, Crystal. Sarah, would you like to state your name, affiliation, and if anything you'd like to add to that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, committee members, good morning. My name is Sarah Vitaska, and I'm with the National Conference of State Legislatures. And I would like to give you a lay of the land of what other states have done around bullying. Representative Anderson's office invited me to testify before you all today. His office has asked me to provide you with the general overview of anti-bullying legislation and a summary of the introduced bills from the 2005-2006 legislative sessions. In addition, I will touch on a few components of the anti-bullying policies, including state-level support, public school reporting requirements, and individual reporting requirements and immunity. A growing body of research on the prevalence of school bullying and the likelihood of school bullies to develop antisocial behavior and the impact of bullying it has on its victims and school climate have heightened the issue. Anti-bullying legislation has been motivated, at least in part, by a surge in school violence and tragic school shootings at several U.S. high schools in the late 1990s. In addition, a 2002 U.S. Secret Service report entitled Safe Schools Initiative found that bullying played a major role in several of the shootings. And according to research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, approximately 30% of American school children in grades 6 through 10 have been bullied or have been bullied other children sometimes or more often within a semester. Like Crystal said, a total of 21 states have enacted anti-bullying legislation. To date, at least 24 states have introduced anti-bullying legislation during the 2005-2006 legislative sessions. Of those states, 16 are considering anti-bullying policies, and 6 are seeking to amend their current anti-bullying statutes. During the 2005 legislative session, four states, including Arizona, Indiana, Maine, and Tennessee, enacted anti-bullying policies, and two states, Arkansas and Virginia, amended their existing anti-bullying statutes. This analysis does not include states that have enacted or are introducing harassment and intimidation policies that do not specifically include bullying. Maryland, Mississippi, and Nevada have enacted such policies. There are several components to anti-bullying policies, including prohibiting bullying, defining bullying, state-level support, school intervention programs, individual reporting and immunity, public school reporting, parental rights, teacher and staff training, prevention task force and programs, and an integrated curriculum instruction. State-level support. A handful of states have established requirements for the State Board, Department of Education, or Commissioner of Education to facilitate anti-bullying efforts in the schools. State support in California, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, and West Virginia provides school districts with model policy to assist them in approving their own policies and programs. In Washington, the Superintendent of Public Instruction has sole authority for policymaking. School districts in Washington are directed to adopt the Superintendent of Public Instruction's model policy or amend an existing policy to be considered in compliance. And in Arkansas, the State Board of Education must review every district's anti-bullying policies and may recommend changes or improvements. In Oklahoma, the State Department of Education is mandated to disseminate a list of research-based prevention programs to every school in the state. Public school reporting requirements. Some states' anti-bullying legislation contains procedures for school districts to report incidences of bullying. Colorado, Connecticut, and Virginia require incidences of bullying to be made available to the general public. Illinois, Maine, and Virginia have guidelines in place to report certain incidences to local law enforcement agencies relating to criminal offenses committed by students. And similar to Colorado and Connecticut, Vermont requires schools to collect data on the number of reported incidences of bullying and make that data available to the commissioner and to the public. In addition, the commissioner must report to the Senate and House committees on incidences on the implementation of the policy. The report must include pertinent data such as incidences of bullying gathered by the school districts. In Washington, each school district is required to report to the Superintendent of Public Instruction annually all bullying incidences that result in a short or long-term suspension or expulsion on school premises or on transportation systems used by the schools. The superintendent must compile the data and report to the appropriate committees of the House and Senate.
I noticed you have several pages of that. If you could submit that to the committee in writing or maybe summarize what you have.
Sure.
Could you quickly summarize kind of what you got and submit it in writing?
Sure. Verbally, right, summarize it right now. Okay. I just touching on a little bit more of the individual reporting requirements. States either require teachers, staff to report suspected bullying or encourage states to do so. A few states enable students and parents to report bullying incidences as well. And touching on some of the, there's several states this session that are amending their current anti-bullying policies and touching on those, including teacher training. New Jersey wants to appropriate money to reimburse school districts for the cost of establishing prevention programs. And lastly, 16 states, including Alaska, have introduced legislation for the 05-06 legislative sessions.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Representative Thomas?
Thank you. The what experience I've had and what I've seen even continue today more from a basketball coach, bullying, and then they do it openly at a basketball game when they're yelling at this the team. What do you do with a teacher who's out there? And that's, to me, is bullying when they in practice when they're talking you down. I played ball, and it's a pretty common practice to break your students down by bullying them. And I think the coach from Indiana, the past one, was a good example where he threw the kids down. What do you do there when it's a teacher who is bullying the student?
Is there anything in here? Representative Thomas, I have also
experienced
it. I've played softball since I was seven, and I've had some very stringent coaches that, you know, you were scared to go to practice the next day. But within this policy, it not only limits the students to fall underneath this policy where
you know, they have to abide by it. But it also, the parents and guardians of the students, other committee members, teachers, school officials, and pretty much everybody that has to do with schools or, you know, school events, things like that, they all fall under this policy. So if, you know, a parent is, you know, bullying a school, you know, official, or, you know, at a, you know, basketball game, the parents come out of the stands and, rah, 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 what are you doing to my kid? You know, they're, you know, also held liable under this policy to make sure.
And I would,
how do you train them then? I mean, a good example is last week or 2 weeks ago in Anchorage where the parent jumped out of the stand and beat the referee. I mean, he was a 16-year-old boy, and then they couldn't do anything. I mean, what do you do when people do that? I mean, it's bullying. But I guess the main thing is the coaches, and to sit there and watch them yell at these students. And you know what? It's even worse in practice.
Right.
I mean, this is a public game.
Thank you. Support other legislation.
Well, I have two or three questions. You know, I'd like to ask. First of all, just if I may dialogue, if somebody jumped out of the stands and tried to beat up somebody in the
ref.
Yeah. Well, is there not, isn't this covered under assault and battery under regular?
The parents have to press the charges.
I guess.
You get arrested. Maybe
the next day.
I guess the question I wanted to ask, Mr. Chair, isn't this a job that the school should be doing properly anyway, and the job of the local school boards to do this? It just seems to me like maybe we could add an amendment and have a separate bill that opposes sin, you know, and I'm in favor of that.
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, it is something that the school should be doing. It almost seems common sense that, all right, you know, a child's being bullied or, you know, a school employee's being bullied, it's something that you believe shouldn't be happening and that it should be stopped. A lot of times what happens in the schools is they turn the other cheek, basically. They understand it's, you know, happening, but the big debate is, well, kids will be kids. And, you know, the punching, the hair pulling, the kicking, the screaming, you know, all that. Well, they're kids. That's how they are. But at the same time, the schools need to realize that when the, you know, kids are under their care for 6 hours a day, that somebody needs to step in and say, okay, this is acceptable behavior and this isn't. And proper training and all that wonderful stuff needs to be taught to the teachers in order to help them be able to deal with these situations better than they are right now.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lynn.
Well, what you're saying, and I'm a retired school teacher, what you're saying is should also apply in the regular classroom when you're teaching math or reading. Have rules and people follow the rules, be able to enforce discipline. A part of the problem may be that in all the laws we pass nationally and in the state and locally, it takes so much power away from teachers that they become powerless to do anything. And so they can't really do their job because they don't have the power to enforce discipline. We're talking about basic discipline and supervision. And somebody misbehaves in class, which would include bullying, or on the playground, which would include bullying. The teachers have lost the power, and the administrators have lost the power to do hardly anything. You've taken corporal punishment away. That's another debate I'd want to enter into here. It takes an act of Congress to expel somebody, because we don't want them running around the streets. You know, the schools have lost the ability to take disciplinary action that was common in my generation. And that's the problem rather than bullying. And believe me, I have been a subject of bullying, and I won't go into it here all through elementary school because I missed so much school. See, I only went to school 2 or 3 months and didn't go to kindergarten. Went to school about 2 months in the first grade, didn't go back to school to the third grade, then didn't go back to school to the fifth grade, and so on. It was all I didn't fit in like I should have. and was a subject of a lot of bullying. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But I don't know that this or any other bill can, you know, can really solve it. And it's almost like the so-called hate crimes legislation. There's other laws out there that can take care of the same thing. You know, assault is assault, a battery is battery, disorderly behavior is disorderly behavior. And if the school can't handle it with school policies and the local, the teacher, and above the teacher, the principal, above the principal, the superintendent, above the superintendent, the school board can't handle this, then we have the civil authorities who can handle this type of thing. And I just, you know, this is very well intended legislation. I don't mean to, you know, to belittle it. I guess I am, but it's just goes beyond common sense to me, because I'm opposed to bullying. I think everybody in this room is opposed to bullying. I don't think this is going to fix it.
And I'd also like to add too that I'd like to make a conceptual amendment, and I have talked to the representative of the sponsor. On page 1, line 6 and line 7, where it says the school district shall adopt the policy, and the school district shall this policy, I want to propose an amendment to change that word from shall to may. I'm very concerned about the effects of putting additional mandates from the state onto the school districts. Representative Land?
Yeah, and one more thing I forgot to mention in my prior diatribe. One of the problems we have in education overall is the amount of paperwork that has to be done, particularly in special ed and so on. And this is another layer of paperwork that needs to be done that takes away the time of teaching the basic subjects and also takes away the time of supervising student behavior, which includes bullying. You know, so busy filling out paperwork, you don't see somebody being attacked over there.
And again, that's by changing the word from shall to may, it puts it more at the local level of their decision where they want to do that.
And I would assume, Mr. Chair, that it's already at the local level that you may fill out a piece of paper and turn it into the principal, and the principal to the superintendent to the yeah.
Well, this legislation says that they have to do it, and I just do not do that. But would anybody like to speak to the objection then, or? Okay. Amendment passes. Or I guess there was no objection. Amendment passes. That's a conceptual amendment there, because I'm not quite sure how it's going to affect the fiscal note on this or other pieces of this legislation. Representative Gatto?
Is there any circumstances where bullying is beneficial?
Sports. Sports. Basic training.
Through the chair, Representative Gatto. I do not know for certain. My understanding would be it is not beneficial in any way, but I will definitely look into that and see if I can find anything that would be.
I'm just curious. We can take bullying at a great many levels, certainly in kindergarten, when somebody grabs a crayon and somebody tries to grab it back, versus in high school where the coach takes his member, grabs him by the shirt, and says something that we wouldn't consider proper and pushes him off the field. Or in one case I know of where the coach says, you know, you actually suck the wind out of this team. Is that bullying?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I do see that as bullying. It's putting...
How about the crayon, though? Is there a part of growing up where you have to have conflict or you won't tolerate society? And so I'm asking you to say, because you're the one supporting this, is there no value to me saying to my friend Mark here, you know, that's a pretty awful shirt, Mark. Now, that might interfere with his duties, and I could then go through this list and saying, you know, does it substantially disrupt the orderly operation of the legislature? Well, if he turns to me and says, you know, that tie is pretty ugly, too. We're both bullies now. I don't mind saying, you know, we ought to deal with bullying. But to some degree, I'm certainly not terribly in favor of saying we can't have bullying, because I don't know what it is. I don't want to be bullied, but I don't mind bullying.
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I do understand what you're saying, and it is one of those things. If little Johnny takes little Billy's crayon, and you know, mm-hmm. they're fighting over the crayon, are they learning a life lesson, or are they, you know, not being able to complete, you know, their job as a student? I do understand that. At the same time, it is different with a kindergartner stealing a crayon versus a high schooler mm-hmm. throwing somebody up against a locker.
And we're leaving it up to the teachers then to decide, you know what?
That coach.
Actually,
go ahead. Yeah.
I believe in a bill it says that the process will be provided, includes representation from parents, guardians, school employees, volunteers, school students, administrators, community representatives. We'll all join together to create a certain policy on this. Mm-hmm. Representative Lynn?
Representative Thomas and I kind of an unofficial sidebar here. We're both, military veterans, and we've been through military basic training. I was through aviation cadet training, and there was a lot of bullying that went on. And I'll tell you, I'm a better person for it. It was good, you know, they tear you down and then they build you up. And if I hadn't had the training, and that kind of training, I wouldn't be able to pull up a lot of stuff I put up with in this legislature. I'm here to tell you. So it's you know, I don't bully well now anymore. And part of that was because of training that we shared in the military. So it's not always, you know, a bad thing. Like salt is not a bad thing, like to put too much on your food, but some of it is good. And so bullying is not necessarily bad. And I'm sports challenged because I missed my school and everything like that. But I can see where some of this stuff, and you know, the coach being tough on kids makes them a better team. It sure made us some pretty good military outfits. We won, I think, a few wars because of that, maybe.
And I think with a little bit of very intensive oversight during that process. Okay. Representative Gatto?
Thanks. I'm trying to imagine a bully-free environment and see if it's even attainable. But if it were attainable in perhaps a very confined and restricted and enclosed environment, would the people who entered this environment and then left this environment be better because of that?
And can I ask Sarah to answer that? Because she's more familiar with other states that already have legislation and how they handle that.
You know, I can.
If that's okay.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, thank
throwing
you.
Throwing it out.
Representative Gatto, through some of the research, prevention programs that are based on rigorous research show that bullying incidences, when these programs are implemented correctly, can reduce incidences by over 50%. So the research shows that programs put in place to foster maybe a bully-free or a less mm-hmm. bully environment are working.
Well, if I can, I don't doubt that we'll find some effect there. I'm just not concerned, but I have to explore it, the dialogue, because the bill's in front of us.
Right.
And I try to say a lot of what ifs. But I'll give you an example, and I don't know if I should. My wife will say you shouldn't have, but I'll do it anyway. I went to high school with 6,000 students, and every one of them was a boy. Let me tell you, you cannot imagine a testosterone cloud bigger than that was in that building. And the bullying was rampant. You just did it. And if you were the victim of it, well, here I am. I'm in front of the elected to the state house. Was the bullying kind of beneficial to me in that I really learned how to essentially evade bullying, how to protect myself, how to succeed in spite of what other people wanted? And if I had a bully-free environment, a high school with 3 students, would I have been here now? I don't know. And you don't either. And that's the trouble, is is there some benefit to be had? Not in my case. I hated my high school with a passion. I can still tell you how much. I cannot tell you how bad it was, but it was ugly. But I don't know that having gone through the ugly, you really don't learn where the barriers are, and you know the barrier says none of this, but some of this, and a little of this, and then the safe harbor over here. I don't know. And I don't know that anybody does. So here we have legislation that says, hey, we got to do this, and we're not sure that it will produce something better than what we have now, except there will be less bullying. But over a lifetime of the individuals, are they better off? And isn't that what we try to do in a classroom, is to simply make your life better than if you weren't in the classroom? You're smarter, you're more socialized, and you recognize that bullying exists, and you don't like it, and you learn how to avoid it. You do it then, or do you want us to wait till later when we're really not as well equipped? As children, you can just yell at somebody, push them. What do you do as an adult if you've never experienced bullying? I'm not in favor of it, but I have to tell you that all that stuff has to be included in any conclusion that you're going to arrive at. Sorry.
I would like to provide for a little bit of public comment today on this bill. Do we have any more questions for Sarah or Crystal in the committee? Thank you, ladies. I'm now going to take some public testimony. We're going to go to Anchorage. We have Katie Singleton and Dennis Maloney, both from Bye Bye Bullies. I'm going to ask Katie to do this talking for Dennis and Katie. Katie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Please proceed.
And I would have to disagree strongly
Katie,
with
the record and affiliation.
I'm with Bye Bye Bullies. I help run the organization Bye Bye Bullies.
Your name?
Here in Anchorage. And I would like to strongly disagree with some of the testimony about bullying not having an effect or being a positive effect, having a positive effect on children. All of the experts that I've spoken to agree that bullying is bad. 30% of bullies grow up to be criminals, and some of them bully as adults. If we give our students the ability to deal with bullies through these database programs, then they will be able to deal with bullies as adults. They will be able to deal with bullies in their school as a kindergartner or in high school, in junior high, college, and as an adult if they run into bullies, because they will be given the tools through these programs to deal with bullies. bullying in schools is a concern of mine because I was bullied in second grade at a private Catholic school in the Midwest. I cried myself to sleep every night and dreaded going to school the next day. And my oldest child will be starting school in the fall. He's small for his age, and I'm concerned that he will have to endure the same trauma that I did as a child. I'm happy to see that at least some of our legislators are concerned enough about this issue to include it in their debate. we need to have a requirement for schools to take responsibility for the safety of our children, and that includes policies against bullying and harassment. As a member of the organization Bye Bye Bullies, I have heard presentations and read papers by many of the nation's bullying experts, and the bully experts seem to all agree that school surveys are the best place to start. We don't know where the problem is unless we survey the students. The teachers generally don't really know where the problem is because the children hide the bullying from them. Schools have different problems, different layout, physical layouts, and other aspects that require some questions to be included or not included on a survey. And these surveys are then used to determine which programs might work best for a particular school. Something I believe that needs to be included in this bill is a provision for mandatory surveys of all students and staff. surveys should be done prior to finalizing a specific program for a school. Surveys should also be conducted periodically to determine how the programs are working. Previous studies show an increase in bullying in the first year, and this is due to an increase in awareness. So a lot of the students, or a lot of the teachers and adults in the that are working in the schools or associated with the schools, like the parents, don't even realize that it's a problem until these surveys are done. And so the increase in bullying is due to, in the first year, is due to an increase in awareness. And then the reports of bullying decline in the following years because the students are given the tools to deal with bullying. I think this is good legislation, and I think the schools need this guidance. This legislation is needed.
This is Dennis Maloney. I'm sitting here with her, and we did start the Bye Bye Bullies organization. We put on the first national conference on bullying in Anchorage 2 years ago.
Dennis, did you state your affiliation?
I'm the president of Bye Bye Bullies, and I'm an attorney in Anchorage. I started Bye Bye Bullies, and I've spent over $150,000 on this organization. We had the first national conference in Anchorage 2 summers ago, and we brought the top 9 people in North America to Anchorage and had a 3-day conference, which cost $10 for the public to attend. It was attended by educators as far away as Quebec, Boston, Dallas, Texas. The Mat-Su School District sent 44 teachers. 12 teachers came from the Anchorage School District and took our 2-hour graduate course in bullying prevention. The statistics in Anchorage show that by surveys that they've taken in middle school that 10% of the students are afraid to go to school every day because of intimidation and harassment. This means that students are looking over their shoulders rather than focusing on their education. The bullying programs that were presented here in Anchorage varied in the methodology, but all of them report results, including a reduction in bullying as much as 50% the first or second year and on to 75% reduction, as well as reductions in property damage at schools. The savings on property damage alone, because you've changed the environment in the school, will more than pay for any program that is ever introduced. Dr. Stuart Twemlow, who was one of our speakers, is the medical director of the Menninger Clinic, the largest mental health institution in the world, which used to be in Kansas and now is down at Baylor University in Houston, Texas. He defined bullying as a bully repeatedly uses force, either physical or non-physical, to shame, humiliate, or dominate a victim. It's the shame and humiliation that results in the damage to the ego of the individual who's been shamed. I believe that you should all be aware that there are the Bethel shooting case, you know, where the student came to school with a shotgun and killed people, what resulted from bullying. That I represented a young man with a math IQ of 177 who walked with a limp and weighed 87 pounds in junior high school, who was repeatedly bullied until he hanged himself, and now he's a person being fed through a tube in his stomach, and his mother is changing his diaper every day.
Dennis, can I ask you to summarize your testimony, please?
Sure. An effective anti-bullying program will reduce the cost of education and make education more attainable. It will reduce discipline problems in schools, and it's been shown to increase the self feeling that the egos of the people who are not bullied let them lead a nicer life and become more productive members of society.
Thank you, Dennis. And I do, for the committee and the audience, we do have one more person who'd like to testify, Tom Harvey. We do have questions from a couple of our chair. I'd also like to recognize we have been joined by Representative Guerra, and then we have to provide for a little bit of time for the committee and then a vote on this bill yet. So we're pushing it. Representative Gatto.
Yeah, you became somewhat of a high-profile attorney, basically, in my understanding, on the information that you supplied in your testimony. Now, I'm going to guess that if we pass this legislation, that would make it easier for an attorney such as yourself to sue successfully in court. Is that an accurate statement?
No, it's not accurate. It's not accurate. And I don't ever want to have another bullying case. I don't ever want to bring another bullying case. The people who report the bullying are immune from suit. There's a provision in the suit that prevents the person who reports it from being sued, and I agree with that. They're indemnified. That what happens is if you adopt a program, and the surveys can be anonymous, all you're doing is trying to find out what's really going on in your school. And once you find out what's going on, you teach people how to handle it. You teach, for instance, for a woman who's sexually harassed, I taught at a course once for women who are sexually harassed. If a woman is, say, getting an unwanted touching by a man, the most effective way for that woman to deal with that is to say to the man, look, I don't appreciate that. I didn't feel comfortable when you did that. I'm going to make a note, and I'm going to keep it. And if you ever do it again, I'm going to turn it over to the authorities or your wife or whoever it is that would humiliate him and stop him from doing that. There are techniques that can be taught to children.
I interrupt you. Dennis?
Sure.
Listen, the question went back to, I'm going to go back to my question rather than a lot of dialogue.
Okay.
Please be brief.
The question dealt with whether or not it would be easier for an attorney to sue if we passed this legislation.
And no, I think it would be more difficult.
Dennis, hold on. I'm kind of looking for a yes or a no, and I'll,
no.
I'll give you some latitude, but give me one of those answers.
Answer is no.
Representative Lynn?
Mr. Maloney, how many Alaska members do you have in Bye-Bye Bullies? I guess you have to have a membership card or join a group. And this is a 501c3 organization? Or?
Yes, it's a 501c3 organization, and I've contributed more than $125,000 to that organization out of my own pocket. There are over 150 Alaskan members.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, Dennis and Katie. Now we're going to go to Tom Harvey from NEA. Tom? And Tom, you have submitted some written testimony, so if you could summarize that briefly for us.
My name is Tom Harvey, Executive Director of NEA Alaska. Chairman Newman, members of the committee, you do have my written testimony. Let me make just a couple of observations. One of the six effective factors of schools is a school climate. This bill addresses that very specific factor in schools. It actually provides a mechanism by which the schools can produce a better climate for which students can learn and teachers can teach. And I think that's probably one of the most important parts of the bill. Most specifically, I wanted to address your attention to my testimony in regards to resources. There are, in fact, a lot of resources available in nationwide, a lot of resources available from our association. We've been working on this issue for over 10 years because, in fact, it does affect a large population of students that don't come forward. And very specifically, let me address it in terms of No Child Left Behind. There are 31 factors in No Child Left Behind in terms of a school's ability to fail. It only has to fail one of the 31. One of those is attendance. Students stay home because they're bullied. They stay home, they miss attendance schedules, and we have a failing school under No Child Left Behind. That's not appropriate. This bill will provide us a mechanism for which to change that. Second piece is a student comes to school, a student who has been a victim of bullying, and that student is not in the frame of mind to, in fact, perform well on a test. And that student misses one of the three areas of proficiency, and we have yet another failing school. So I would suggest to you that given that school climate is one of the six effective factors, it is important that you look at the research, you look at the resources that are available, you don't get hung up on your personal view of what a bullying act is or is not, but what specifically the research provides, and in fact what the tools are that are available for educators to use if, as Representative Lind points out, they're given the opportunity to use them versus all the barriers that have been put on educators in order to be able to maintain a good school climate. And with that, Mr. Chairman, respecting the time of the committee, I'll answer questions.
Do you have any questions, Representative Lynn, quickly?
Would better enforcement of by the administration, better support by the administration of the classroom teacher on the front line and their enforcement of disciplinary policies help the bullying situation and other type behavior problems?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, we have all sorts of policies in place that can be used for enforcement. And yes, one of the other effective factors of schools is that uniform standards that are applied, and the better that school will be able to perform. So you've put your finger on an issue. However, in this particular circumstance, what I would say is times have changed since you and I were raised and were in school. And some of the conflict resolution techniques that you and I learned from our parents aren't done today. And that's part of what this program provides.
President Fowler, kind of piggybacking on Representative Cotto's question to another person earlier, the question was, basically, yes or no, would better support for the administration of the classroom teachers help the resolve the bullying issue and other disciplinary issues?
To some degree, the answer is yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Harvey, last year a very similar bill came through this committee, sponsored by Representative Woody Salmon of Beaver, they seem real similar to me. I think there are some differences. Do you have any opinion on the differences as these bills move through the committee process that you'd want us to consider?
Through Chairman Newman, we haven't done that analysis at this point, Representative Guerra, but we'd be glad to do that and provide you some answers.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you, Tom. At that point, do we have any more folks from the audience? Hearing and seeing no more public testimony, we'll close the public testimony. Committee discussion on the bill. Hearing no more testimony on that, do we have a motion from the committee?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 482 from committee with individual recommendations.
And object.
Accompanying fiscal note.
We do have an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection, Representative Lynn?
I would just, to be recap what I've said previously, I think it's a well-intended bill. I think we already have laws in place to take care of this type of thing. Enforcement of the policies we already have would help resolve this problem. The teachers don't need more onerous paperwork to fill out. Less paperwork to fill out, they have more time to supervise children's misbehaviors. It's an extra burden, it's unneeded, and I'm opposed to bullying.
So objection is maintained?
I maintain the objection.
Clerk, call the roll. Any further discussion on the bill?
No, actually, yeah, I just,
a little further discussion, a little bit.
Sure. Representative Lynn, I just have a question, and I wish I had spent more time going through the details of the bill. My understanding from the bill is it asks the school district to adopt policies to prevent and remedy bullying in the future, but does it require any specific paperwork or anything like that, or is the fair assumption that if they adopt policies, that'll bring paperwork with it?
I believe the bill does require some paperwork to be filled out.
It has a fiscal note, so something has to be done.
Yeah.
And again, I strongly oppose bullies and bullying. Okay, in certain circumstances.
Objection is maintained. Any other further discussion on the objection? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Thomas?
Yes.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Salmon, excused. Representative Wilson, excused. Representative Gatto?
Yes.
Representative Newman?
Yes.
Four yay, one nay.
Vote of four yay, no nay. Bill passes from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. I will end today's committee meeting.